if we can, if we could just sing that as, and the song just becomes our alabaster box. She gave everything she had. What she had was worth a lot in that day. Amen. And so I just, you know, if you want to sit there and, you know, be a stump on the log, you can. But if you want to, you can get up and praise him out of your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Is it on? Well, I'll get over here and look. It is. It is. It is. It is. There's green light coming out. Amen. So let's just worship the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. One more time. Hallelujah.
The tears that made her blind. She felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, "There's no place here for her kind." Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the Master from her box of my praise on him, like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my word. To the sin that had me bound, I spent my days pouring my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found, until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my with the wonder of his touch.
Glory to God. You can be seated in His presence if you can. Hallelujah. Praise His mighty God. Hallelujah. We bless you. Glory to God. We praise you. Well, I've got a Paul Harvey. Yeah, I got to finish the rest of my story about the walk on the beach. I actually didn't get the idea to eat breakfast until we started getting closer. I wasn't sure I could make it. That was 2.5 miles, a long way on the beach. But you know the song we sing around here, Is He Worthy? Well, I got a challenge for you. Put that thing in your headset and find you a place where you can see the sun come up. And I'm going to tell you what, I had one of them Pentecostal experiences on the beach when, with that song, Is He Worthy? And watching the waves roll in. You know, we sing another song, that Who Taught the Waves, that you could only go so far. But then listening to He Is Worthy and watching the sun start to peek up out of the horizon and rise up with that song in my ears. Whew, I was a blubbering idiot on the beach, you know. People probably looking at me. I was behind Deb, you know, had tears coming out of both eyes, you know. You know, my wife, she don't get hardly any credit, but I want to thank her for something. In 1990, we'd go to church. We was basically living together, okay? We just tried to keep it away from our parents. And, but we'd go to church every now and then because we was both raised in church. So we'd try to go to church, but, you know, they could be having their annual business meeting, but if you're not right with God, the Holy Ghost will show up and convict your heart. And I finally couldn't take it any longer. And I went to her and I said, hey, we either got to stop living like this or get married because I have to serve God. And she said, yes. Not only yes to marry me, but yes to serving God. And I can tell you, I have good friends that are pastoring and their wife is not totally on board. And it is a constant struggle. So thank you, baby doll, for being so supportive. And you guys, thank you. But you should thank my wife because she never feels sorry for me. No matter how aggravated I get, there ain't no pity party, no pity party from her. So I've got to be quick to repent. Amen. I had a message planned today, and I'm just going to give you part of it. Okay? But it's called The Art of Forgiveness. And if I could just take a second here, maybe you want to, I don't know if I should try to write this on the board, but I'll try. I wrote this down. I looked it up, actually. Art. A definition for art. Art is a skilled disposition and modification of things. Okay? Now, what's that got to do with anything? Well, I'm about to tell you. Relax. Okay? Now, we know what a modification is, right? When you modify a car into a hot rod, you've made some changes, right? You take that old Ford Fairlane and you jack the tires up in the back and, goose that carburetor. Well, everybody in here is old enough to know what a carburetor was, okay? Nowadays, nobody knows what a carburetor is. They got what's called injectors. You can't even find anything that looks remotely like a carburetor. I'll tell you how simple cars were. One time I had to work and Mom and Dad came on down to Ironton, and I don't know, somebody had passed away, And so Dad had the carburetor rebuilt on that old Plymouth. Anybody remember that old blue Plymouth station wagon Dad used to have? Had wood grain on the side. It was the original Griswold Mobile. And I tell you how simple cars were to work on at that time. Dad told me, he said, you know, you got to go down to Mary Ignition and pick up that carburetor. And put that carburetor, he said, you put that carburetor back on that car. And he showed me where it went and how to put the air filter back on top of it and the four bolts that held it on. It was pretty simple. You know, I was like 17 or 18. I was about 17. I put that thing on myself and drove it down. Well, you can't, you know, cars today, they fix them so you can't get any help. But modification means change, okay? Now, what does skilled disposition mean? Well, let me tell you, a disposition, you ready, is something that is inherent in a person. It's the qualities of your mind and your character. So your disposition is really speaking of your heart and your mind, okay? So an artist is creating something out of their heart and their mind, okay? They're taking beauty and they're modifying it, and they're putting it on a painting, okay, or on a mural. You with me? So I titled this message, The Art of Forgiveness, because for us to forgive, we have to have something inherent in our mind and our character that wants to forgive. Amen? We've got to be willing to allow what's in our heart and our mind to modify something or to change something about us. The Apostle Paul said, you know what? I could quote Romans 12, but let's go over there and read it. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2, page 1568, if you got a Bible like mine. So the question is, I'm struggling with forgiveness. Can I modify or change what's in me? Can I modify? Can I change my heart and my mind? No, you can't. But God can. Amen? On your own, you can't. You know, people say, you don't know what they did to me. You're right, I don't. I grew up with godly parents. I grew up with a father. A lot of people haven't. A lot of kids today don't even know their father. They may know who he is, but they have no relationship with him. And I see this when I'm at youth camp. There's always an altar call. Always an altar call for kids who don't have fathers. Or for kids who don't know their fathers. And you've never seen such weeping and honesty as you see in these young teenagers when they come forward in that altar call. I once prayed for a young man. I don't know how old he was, but his father was very abusive to him. And I once prayed with him, and I asked him, I said, you know, I can't relate to what your father did to you. But then again, it's hard for me to grasp a hold of the idea that the King of the universe would incarnate himself in his son and go to a cross at Calvary and pay the price for my sin. I said, I have a hard time with both of those. But I asked him, I said, listen, you've asked Jesus to forgive you, or you've asked the Father to forgive you, and you've asked Jesus into your heart. And how did that make you feel? And his answer was, it made me feel great. I felt so clean. I said, well, now let me ask you this. What do you think it would be like if you verbally said, I forgive my father for those abuses? And he was really honest with me. He said, I don't know if I can. I said, listen, it's not up to me. I'm not going to try to make you say those things. But I think just as you asked God to forgive you, and the dam burst inside you, and the tears flowed, and there was a cleansing that takes place in that forgiveness that you can't explain to somebody else. They just have to experience it. And he said, I want to pray that. And he verbally asked God to help him. And he said, he asked God, forgive me if I've harbored any unforgiveness in my heart towards anyone, and I forgive my father for the abuse that he did to me. And at that moment, the tears came down, and I could visibly see in his face a sense of relief that he hadn't had probably since he was a boy. Amen. So there is real power in forgiveness. Amen. There's real power that happened inside you when God forgave you. And there's real power that can happen in us when we walk in unforgiveness, or when we walk in forgiveness. Amen. There's something in our mind and in our heart that changes. Amen. And the question was, can we change? And Paul said, yes. He said in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I love that verse because Paul said, listen, it's reasonable for God to ask you to be a living sacrifice. Right? It's reasonable. Because a holy God has saved you and now has called you into a life of holiness. And you know here at this church that holiness, the holiness of God, speaks of his uniqueness. He's other than. He's not like any of these pagan gods that's ever been worshipped. And it's his moral purity that sets him apart. And it's reasonable, Paul says, for him to ask you to be a living sacrifice, for you to live holy, for you to be unique and other than and not like the other people of this world. Amen. Doesn't mean that you're way up here and they're all way down here. It just means that you understand you are forgiven, and with that forgiveness, there's a responsibility to allow the Word of God to become a lamp into your feet and a light into your path. To fear the Lord is to walk in obedience to God. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we usually stop right there, but we're not going to. We're going to go on to verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as good, or as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, I believe that our ability, or God's ability to change us, mold us, and shape us, the best environment for that is the church. It's the community. It's the family. Amen? You with me? Outside the church, I don't think that a whole lot of change goes on. but that change in the community. And Paul's addressing the community or the church at Corinth when he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. All right, moving right along. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Let love be without hypocrisy. Don't expect other people to love you if you're not willing to love. That would be a hypocrite, would it not? Hypocrite comes from a Greek word that means actor. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Ouch. Repay. Now here's a good one. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Wow, I hate that because he put the emphasis on us. We're to be the peacemakers. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. That means holding a grudge or walking in unforgiveness is not overcoming evil with good. Now, does that mean, but these people hurt me. I didn't say you had to hang out with them. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm not even telling you got to forget something. Okay? Be smart enough not to ever put yourself back in that position. Be wise. Use the wisdom of God. But you know what? If you don't forgive, I don't think you can walk in that wisdom where you don't put yourself in that situation. Somebody say amen or me. Now, I'm gonna take you to it's not my notes, and I'm going to stop here. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 because here's something we have to keep in mind. We have to keep in mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I don't know. I just marked it. Let's start in verse 15. It says, talking about Jesus, page 1616, you got a Bible like mine. Well, let's go to verse 12 and read the whole context. We'll get it all. We'll get the full money. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Messiah compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Messiah according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus our Messiah, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Messiah reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Messiah's behalf, be reconciled to God. You have been through Jesus reconciled to God. You've heard me say it many times. At the Red Sea, God establishes kingship. At Calvary, our Messiah Jesus reestablished that kingship. You establish kingship with a great act of redemption. Somebody say amen or oh me. So at Calvary, kingship has been reestablished. Now that kingship has been reestablished in your heart, now you can walk with God. Now you can pick up that ministry of reconciliation that Paul says we have. Because we have been reconciled to God, we need to remember. You need to get this. I had to get this. Our job now as Christians is not to get to heaven. Our job now as Christians is to be witnesses to what Jesus has done, which has reconciled us back to a holy God. Now, therefore, it's imperative, it's important that we walk in forgiveness in order that we can help reconcile some back to God. If I'm holding a grudge and I'm mad all the time because of what somebody did and I won't talk to people now, then I don't have a ministry of reconciliation, do I? Now, that doesn't mean that I got to hang out with them. That doesn't mean that I'm going to forget and put myself back in a situation where they can hurt me again. I'm not. But you know what? I'm going to forgive not only for myself, but I'm going to forgive in order that God can work in their life to help reconcile them back to God. Because they're never going to apologize to you until they've been reconciled back to God. Somebody say, amen or oh me. And they're not going to be able to do that. They're not going to be able to do what you're doing now until that reconciliation back to God happens, because it's once they're reconciled, once kingship is established, now the potter can shape you and mold you and make you into the leader he wants you to be. Amen. So you don't want to let your unforgiveness keep somebody else from being reconciled to God. Whew. Man, Pastor, you didn't need to put all the responsibility on me. Listen, I've been out in the woodshed. God's had me in the woodshed over a couple things. I'm just the messenger this morning. Don't shoot the messenger. Please, don't shoot the messenger. Okay? But I have prayed, you have prayed. The one thing that my heart desires more than anything about Church of the King, I don't care if the pews are never full. I just want to be known because of the presence of God that is in the house. Amen. I don't care what they say. You know, I've been divorced, and there's some people in this town that say this church is a cult because I've been divorced. one of the same guys that said that was having an affair. He was married and having an affair with another woman. But he was still preaching. The guy said, "Well, don't you think you're in sin?" "Well, no, I'm still good because I haven't been divorced." "Whoa, wait a minute. Never mind. I didn't even really have an answer for that. I just chalked it up to ignorance, you know. And plus the fact that when people want to do something, they're going to justify it. And once they've justified it in their mind, they've got rid of all the guilt, you know. But how many know there's going to be a day of reckoning, right? Amen. And you and I, we can't worry about what other people are doing. We can't even worry about what other people are doing to us. We just got to keep serving God. Keep doing what he's commanded us to do. Amen. And allow God to use us to build his kingdom one heart at a time. Amen. And the ministry to the jail down there, you've already seen fruit come out of it. Amen. Now, there's all kinds of warnings. There's all kinds of warnings that people tell you when you're dealing with people in jail. You know, they'll use you. They'll this, they'll that. That's all true. That's all true. But you know what? When you're in jail or prison, you might get a little desperate. It's not our job to judge. It's been laid on some of the ladies' hearts to take a goodie bag down there with some literature in it and just show the love of God. Somebody said, "Well, that's they won't all appreciate it." That's not our job. That's not our call. But you know what? That little goodie bag, that little track, or that information about Jesus in there, you don't know what God could do with that heart. Amen? So it's up to, we have to remember that, you know, walking in unforgiveness doesn't only affect us, but it could affect somebody around us from being reconciled to God. Amen? And we've been given that ministry of reconciliation. Glory to God. Well, I think it's time to take communion, if everybody's up for that. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on, Charles, David, and Mike. Because I was impressed, because I got down on my knees and back and scrubbed them cabinets out yesterday, and I was thinking of Mike and Charles David having to get in there and cut that pipe and put that new valve in there. Amen. Hallelujah. The bad news is, now that I know you're capable, who knows what you might be called on to do? Hallelujah. Amen. I can do all things through Christ.